Shop.com founder Jake Redman and travel junkie Anthony Ryan.
My three-year-old's graduation is today. Graduation from daycare.
They have these now?
Yeah, that's a thing. Somebody asked me if they're going to be tiny little caps and gowns, and I said, for the amount of money we pay for daycare, there better be. So, if there's not caps and gowns...
It's a money grab from the gown company.
But then again, maybe I want that to go to better things like food and care for my child.
Yes,
so, but there better not be caps and gowns. So, that out of the way, let's talk about some travel news.
Oh,
yes. We've got a really exciting guest today. Brian Apple is here. You may recall him as a guest we had for the Edinburgh episode. And he's back to talk about his trip to Spain. He's stopped in some really cool spots in Spain, and we're going to talk about it's mostly southern Spain, right?
Yeah.
But we'll talk about that in a minute. Right now, we found news at boarding area partner Mommy Points. Another United Airlines Polaris lounge is opening, this one at Houston's George Bush Intercontinental Airport.
Ooh, intercontinental. I like that word.
It sounds cool, right? There's a media preview on June 26th, so you'll probably see a jillion pictures across social media. If you're in the Houston area, though, and have an easy 2,500 United miles to burn, there may be a shot at you to visit before its official opening on June 29th. Slots are being offered at the Mileage Plus Exclusives website, and at last check, some of the earlier times had some availability. If you want, they may go pretty fast, though. If it's like the preview I got into at Newark, as it should, you'll get a pretty full sampling of what the lounge has to offer. After the event, you'll need to be flying internationally aboard a Star Alliance or United flight in first or business to get into the Polaris Lounge.
That's some big spending right there.
Here's another. This is kind of cool. USA Today reports Delta Airlines announced on Wednesday that nonstop flights connecting Minneapolis-St. Paul to Seoul Incheon Airport in South Korea would begin sometime next year. It's a big flight for the Minneapolis airport, and it's a nice place to connect through if you're coming from the East Coast. Delta didn't give a start date, but its plans for the route follow the recent final approval for a joint venture partnership with Korean Air.
My question is, do they do research on like the demand for a direct flight? Like, do they take a poll and maybe there's like a bigger Korean population in Minneapolis and... like, you know what? We could do with a direct flight.
There could be, I think there are a lot of different factors, like what's a simpler connection from New York or other places that have high traffic from the States to Korea. So I think there's a lot more stuff that we don't see that's involved in that. I don't think the Korean population is... it exists definitely in Minneapolis-St. Paul, but it's not
like here in New York.
Yeah, it's not like other parts of the U.S. But
and when we say Korea, we mean South Korea. There's no flights going to North at the moment,
at least not from Delta. If you've got Priority Pass, it's good news day. You've got a new batch of new to the program lounges. While the latest batch doesn't have any new lounges added for the U.S. market, it did add new restaurants. If you've got Priority Pass Select through, say, your Amex Platinum, you'll get a $28 credit when you're visiting Barney's Beanery at Los Angeles International or Johnny Rockets if you're in Syracuse at Hancock International. Globally, lounges have been added to airports in the UK, Austria, and a bunch in Russia.
All right.
Hashtag collusion.
Just in time for the World Cup.
Oh, that's right. That's there.
Yeah. It just started.
Tip of the hat to boarding areas, Points, Miles, and Martini for the heads up on that. Spain. Senior European correspondent Brian Apple just got back and is going to tell us all about how cheap it was to get around and all the cool stuff he saw. That's next.
Might as well call him Brian Manzana.
The Mod Hop Podcast with Jake Redman and Anthony Ryan.
Brian Apple is back. You remember Brian Apple from the Edinburgh episode.
Yeah, you said it
Which one? Yeah, I practiced a lot in between that
you
one
did.
And this one.
You said
one.
It right.
It took a while, but I got there.
Okay.
But now that I got it, and that's where this is going to start, because that's where you started this adventure. We're going to talk about your trek to Spain.
Yeah.
Starting in Edinburgh.
Starting in Edinburgh. Went back there, see some friends. Take care of a couple things after moving.
Quick backstory. He lived there for a few years.
Yep.
As an expat and worked for
Rockstar Games.
Rockstar Games. Thank
yep.
you. And now he went back to do some stuff. And now tell us about where you went first.
First, Edinburgh.
Okay. From Edinburgh.
$99 flight.
From
mind you.
Via what?
That was through Newburgh, up right outside of New York, and that's Norwegian Air.
That's right. Yeah. So $99.
$99
from...
flight over. Then since we lived there for so many years, we knew to take a discount airline. So we took Ryanair for £49. Then. Per person down to Malaga.
So airfare wise, you're only up to $150
to get to Europe to get your destination.
That's two different countries for that price.
Edinburgh for a while. So
how did you find this deal? Like how early did you book this $99?
It wasn't that far out.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's the convenience of all these airlines now that I've noted since we've been back. We see Norwegian is now infiltrating the States, and that was an airline we also flew.
Back from
we used
Spain
to fly
well.
That
They're
to
great.
Spain. Yeah.
Delta also just introduced service to Edinburgh, so it'll be interesting to see what the pricing does, at least from the big three airports.
That's true.
And big airports, not the big three. It was only
because you have United,
JFK,
and then you have the American flight from JFK.
Yeah. So, and it may be a surprise to people that you can fly to even European destinations from
Edinburgh.
Newburgh.
Yeah. And if you're in New York, you just take the bus at the Port Authority, $20. The bus takes you up, and we'll actually, on the way back, it will pick you up again. And
$20, that kills it.
Yeah.
What is it? That's
better than a Zipcar.
$119. No,
way over budget now.
I know. Sorry. I broke the bank.
So tell us about, where did you go first in Spain?
Spain, we flew in to Malaga, and going there for many, many years after we lived over there, that is the sort of the spot. Alicante and Malaga, usually the two airports you fly into for if you live in the UK, because it's like, northerners here go to Florida, UK citizens fly to southern Spain for sun.
And we were talking about, you do see that when you're there. You see a lot of people from the UK and other European nations.
Yes.
In the is it mostly concentrated in the Malaga area?
Malaga and outside, like north of there, even certain parts, south of there, down through Gibraltar and Cadiz, you get a lot. But there's pockets. It's just pockets around that area.
Right. So,
there are like towns that are overrun, predominantly catering towards the UK.
Oh, yeah.
Crowd.
UK, German, and a lot of Scandinavian countries because they want sun.
That's
right. Well, as we do here, it's the New Yorkers go to Florida, then different parts of Florida, and then you get Midwesterners who go to Naples or just different pockets, like
you
said.
It's the same.
To be clear, Malaga's on the southern coast of Spain, correct?
It's the Andalusia region, which is down near Gibraltar, other side of Gibraltar, if you go south, you can actually, from Malaga, you can see African coast.
The North African coast.
Yeah, on a clear day.
I didn't know if you looked, you could see Africa from that. That's crazy.
You actually can. And the further south you go from Malaga, the more you can see, you could, without binoculars or, zooming in with your phone.
Right. I gotcha.
But you can see it. But we went to Marbella. That was our first stop, which is south of Malaga.
So how long did you stay in Marbella?
Just a couple days. We've been there many times, and it's more of a beachy. Again, it's a beach thing. So we used to go there all the time for sun. So this time we were like, okay, all these towns that are a little more north of there that we've always wanted to go back and see, explore those more, because since living back here in the States, we don't need sun as much because New York actually has sun.
Well, this time of year it does.
This time, yes. So, we were in Marbella a couple days. We got a Speto, which is something, a guy I worked with at Rockstar, it's fish on a stick.
Oh, and you posted some cool pictures. I'm going to have to link to the pictures of the fish on the stick. Now, tell us what time of year?
After Easter, but I think it goes through July is the season for it. I mean, they'll have other fish and stuff, but it's primarily, that's the peak season. So, if you want to try the Speto, which is fish on a stick, sardines and... There's some other some names that I don't remember.
Speto
means Speto. Speto is fish on a stick.
Oh, okay. So is it the type of fish? It's only they spawn or something that.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a season. So we always try to go down and get that when we crave, fresh fish.
I likened it to what are they called? The lobsters in South Florida that they have the. Joe's stone crab.
Oh, stone crab.
Stone crab. Mm. Thank you. It's the same thing. They're only big claws at certain types of the year. Like they have to have an off season for them to grow the claws back.
Oh, that makes sense.
And what's fascinating about those, getting off topic, is that the claws actually grow back.
You just have to maim them once a year.
You just have to cut off their limbs once a year. Anyway, so back to Spain.
Interesting.
Back to Spain after Marbella.
Marbella is a nice town. I mean, it's a great city. And there's a lot of wealth in this community. There is a lot. But after that, we always wanted to go to Ronda, which Ronda has this bridge. They call it the New Bridge because it's built in, I think, 1793.
Oh, so new.
But the Romans originally was up.
New in the course of civilization.
Yeah. Yes, yes. But that's one thing a lot of people don't know, that the coast of Spain is actually some of the oldest coastal cities in the Mediterranean, because you had the Phoenicians, the Romans, you had the Greeks. I mean, the Moors came across from northern Africa. So it's very eclectic. Yeah, there you go. Yes, that's the bridge.
Yeah, we just brought up a picture because, you know, Google.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's a
cool bridge. It is very cool. It's a small town. It's good to visit, you know, for a couple of days if you just want to explore. And
yeah, it looks like the architecture is pretty amazing.
And that's what it is. It's a combination of very eclectic. I've never seen anything like some of the stuff that we witnessed. And they actually also run, which I didn't know, the oldest bullfighting museum in the world.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
And that we just stumbled upon it.
Do they still do bullfighting?
They still do.
In Ronda?
Yeah. Oh, and wow. you get a tour. I think it was 5 euros.
That's great.
Yeah, it's really cheap.
That's crazy.
So as a town to visit, is there more than just the architecture?
No, you just explore. There's, you know, little streets that you just roam around and just find things. There's, you know, little museums all over. Like I said, the bullfighting ring, the bullfighting museum, and just to see the bridge. It's, like I said, a couple days. That's all you really need.
Do you find the food gets more authentic as you sort of move inland?
Get away. Yes. Oh, yes. Definitely. Because it's not as touristy. This is just a sleepy town.
Well, and how do you find restaurants when you get to these towns? Like, do you work on recommendations from the hotel, or do you just do a little research?
That's funny you should ask. Anything that has pictures in the front is a tourist spot.
Right.
So we always try to seek out places and wander back in, you know, off-site streets and find something that is not... doesn't have pictures outside, so that's just a red flag.
Right.
You know, you see it here in New York, you see it pretty much anywhere in the world.
Anybody who's standing out on the street telling you their specials, that usually means they're pulling you in.
Yeah.
You tell me Subway's not authentic?
So that's usually what we'll wander down streets, and we'll see. We'll just look at the menu, and my wife's Puerto Rican, so that does help because she speaks Spanish better than I do.
Right, right.
So towns like this... you should know a little Spanish because it's not as touristy as the coastal towns.
So it's good to have some
help. Or else Google Translate. Google Translate works really well.
Have you had good experiences with Google Translate?
My wife ended up in a hospital in a small town outside Avignon in southern France, and nobody there spoke English. It was two nurses, me and my sister-in-law, back and forth with Google Translate.
Right, very nice.
And only reason I know this is because I took Spanish in University of Edinburgh, and all of the teachers and professors tell you, if you travel anywhere, this is like they're like, Google Translate's the best thing to have in your pocket if you don't know the language. If you know a little, you can get by, but the hospital visit.
I mean, why not just have it in general? I mean, I think that's the best tool you could have, especially.
Well, and they're working on it. I thought one of the features of, again, getting off topic, Google has come out with their little, their earbud, their version of the earbuds that is evolving. They're working on technology to make it work more seamlessly with Google
Translate.
Right,
and it translates,
So you can almost sort of seamlessly have a conversation with somebody. It'll be nice when we get to that point, but I've seen people use Google Translate with some success. I haven't used it in years, because the last time I tried to use it, I think, was in Prague, but it was early on, and it was just like they were staring at me like, okay, this isn't working.
Well, see, there's a new feature now, I don't know if you're aware of this, is if you can take your camera, put it over it, and it will read the words.
Oh, right.
And it will translate it for you.
Yeah, see, I tried an early version of that in Japan, too, and the translation was so weird and goofy, but I kind of got what it was saying, but it was something on the bus. I was just trying to see if it worked, but it was like, meh. But that was, you know, I think it's come along enough
it
now
saved
that
us
it works.
In southern France, you know, so it did work, and I think she got the right dosage of whatever she was getting.
But... it's hard to replace somebody who actually knows the language, too, which is, I'm sure, super helpful. Anyway, back to, where were we in this?
Ronda.
Ronda. So,
we went to Cordoba next.
Cordoba. I'm just sort of, we're looking on the map, too, to sort of follow along
Did you Cordoba. Drive up here?
What we did was we took a bus. We went back to, we actually took a bus back to Malaga and then took a train. They have a high-speed train that it was $70 for two people, 70 euros, I should say, and it goes direct to Cordoba.
I still think we're under 500 bucks transportation-wise.
Yeah, it's amazing already.
It's honestly, it's so much cheaper over there compared to the States.
And isn't it true, you know, well, I know it's true because the it's usually how I do it. The upgrades to like a first class on a European train isn't really that much.
It's like 20 euros, 30?
Yeah, it's usually not too bad. Yeah. And, you know, it's debatable whether it's worth it or not, but maybe on longer trips it'll be worth it for some people.
Yeah.
I like to do it just because I like to take pictures and put them on the website.
Yeah, and you get free Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Yeah, free Wi-Fi. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, I
agree. The only problem with the Wi-Fi was we had this on the Italo train when we were in Italy. The you needed a local phone number to verify that you're...
Yeah, that would be tricky.
It was weird. Anyway, but...
Well, this is my recommendations. If you're traveling abroad, have an unlocked phone. Because when you get an unlocked phone, which most people, I don't know, but I didn't have it. My wife has always had an unlocked phone, and she's like, I told you so. But we buy SIM chips as soon as we get to a different country.
T-Mobile.
Yeah.
Well,
T-Mobile works too.
For the time being, too. T-Mobile, you can now, their current service, whenever I land in a foreign country, it says, welcome to that country. You have free, like 3G.
Yeah.
And you can sign up and get 4G.
Yeah,
but
Verizon's
3G works
the same.
Fine.
Yeah, Verizon works the same.
Verizon does it great.
And you get $10, they get $10 day data plan that if you go over, you get smacked.
Oh yeah, see this is unlimited at a lower speed, but it's still
it does work.
It's still better to as long as you have a phone that you can switch out the SIM chip.
Yes,
is better.
Oh, it's by far better.
Way better. So anyway,
so Cordoba, this here is one of the most amazing places I've ever been.
So it's the mosque.
It's an actual mosque. They call it it's Mezquita or Mequita, I think is the actual what they call it in Spanish.
Mezquita.
Yeah. Anyways, this was started around, I want to say 792, 793. And it was it's a mosque. Every ruler that came in from like over in Morocco. So the Moors, this was where it started by the Moors. Anyways, then in 1293, or maybe it's 1292, don't quote me on this. And that's a Roman bridge right there. Anyways, then during the Spanish Inquisition, 1293, they came in and they put right in the middle of the mosque, that tower right there. They basically built
a church
right in the middle. The Catholics just
came
amazing.
In. But so they kept the...
But they kept all... Yeah, they kept
the surrounding
everything
architecture.
Else.
I mean, look at that. That looks amazing.
Yeah, it's a combination of Moorish... And architecture, then you have it was one of the coolest. You have to see it. You have to go see it to believe it. I mean, they say the capacity inside this mosque cathedral thing is 1 million people.
A million.
It's like
insane.
A city block in New York City. Big. That's how this mosque is spread out.
Wow, that's insane.
And you just walk through and it's like
a small city.
It is like a small city, but there you go.
So we're looking at an aerial view, and it looks you are right. It's like a city block.
Yeah, it's a city block, and that's
insanely
all
huge.
Yeah, inside. And then this used to be a tower, like in Seville. Seville has a tower that was built by the Moors. What the Catholic Church did here, when you go inside this, you can see the interior is the original mosque with the Islamic writing, and then the outside they put a church tower over the outside. So it's sort of. They sort of.
I think
you know,
like the Catholic designer came in and was like, I can work with this.
Yeah, they're like,
no, it's.
I mean, there's a church right here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But this was one of the things that we've always wanted to see. We've always, you know, been to Spain, but we just wanted sun when we lived in, you know, Scotland. So now we're exploring a lot of these smaller towns and cities.
Did you really get the cultural feel too when were exploring these cities?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You do because. There's not a lot of tourists go here. A lot of tour buses come in until about 4 o'clock. So you get tours coming in from Seville.
So they're in and out.
Yeah, in and out. So it gets touristy until about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and then
it clears out.
And then it clears out.
So if you're going to experience Spain, which is highly recommended, you would stay for a couple of days in these small towns.
Yeah, we stayed 2 days here as well. I think we stayed 3 days here because they also have an old Roman bridge. Which the Romans, when they conquered after the Moors or before the Moors, they came and built a bridge across, and that bridge is still there. I mean, they've obviously remodeled it and stuff. And
their designer came in.
Yeah, so their designer came in.
We need a bridge here, I think.
Yeah. So that's the fascinating thing is the more you explore Spain, just to see all the different cultures.
That's
all
what
their
the Moors
stamps.
Did.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I mean, it was an amazing. A lot of people say you don't need much time, and then. It was well worth staying because at night it got quiet And yeah. one thing, this is just word of from what we experienced. If you want to get good pictures with not a lot of people in the shots, you go during the siesta, and each town has their own times of siesta. We didn't know that. We learned more.
It's different?
It's different.
Is it regionally different or just town by town?
Well, Marbella was like 3 to 6. Okay. You could go out, take pictures, no locals on the street. So you want great pictures, you know, especially on a Sunday. Everybody's usually at church and then, you know, hang out with their families. So you just go, you can walk around the city and it's pretty much empty.
Ghost town.
And you can get great pictures. And then I think when we went to Cordoba, I think the times was, I think it was 2 to 4. Which we figured it was the same, but then we also got to remember restaurants also close. So unless it's a really touristy area, all the local restaurants are going to be closed between 2 and 4 or 3 and 6.
So they get a shorter nap.
Yeah.
That's the way
they're missing out.
Yeah, it's kind of like, why don't they go for the 3-hour nap?
Oh, yeah.
I guess you should be careful on Sundays when you're walking around because then they know who the heathens are.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Why aren't unless you at church?
Well,
they're not going to know because they're in church.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
So. No, but I mean, so some open at 8 o'clock at night. So some is 4 to 8, some are 3 to 8, 3 to 6.
That's too late in the day for a siesta. Oh, yeah, I'm going to.
Well, and generally speaking, like all the meals are later as well.
Well, because they're eating tapas. And if you want some of the best tapas, Cordoba, Ronda, even sleepy, there's some sleepy little streets inside of Marbella was some of the best jamon ibérico that I've ever had.
God.
We ate this. We found it. We walked
just going
in.
A Wisconsin accent?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I just heard that.
The jamon ibérico is the best thing. Yep.
I don't even know what that
world is.
What is it?
It's a pig.
It's a black,
ham.
But they feed it acorns.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, I didn't know. Okay.
No, they feed them acorns. So when you get a nutty flavor. Yeah. But
it just melts in your mouth.
It melts in your mouth.
It's amazing.
It's like butter.
I've probably had it, but just didn't know what it was.
Yeah. And there's different.
It's a common tapas thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It costs a little more, but it's well worth if you've never had it. You pay for at least one time, treat yourself. And over there, back here, you're talking for a small tapas plate. I've seen prices. Yeah. $60 over there, you're talking 12 euros.
Yeah, I just went to Taqueria, or not Taqueria, what's it called?
Taco Bell.
I just went to Taco Bell. No. I went to Boqueria, which is, there's a couple locations here in New York, and I ordered the jamon ibérico, and it was like $30 for like small strips.
Yeah.
And it was not even comparable to.
Not even a taste of Spain.
Not even. No. I mean, you just can't get close to that taste. It's just the best thing you'll ever have in Spain.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Oh, I agree.
I'm going to pay attention next time to
what
I eat there. Usually anytime I go to Spain or Italy, I just like food, eat.
Yeah.
So I don't write stuff down.
You were here for 2 days, you said?
3 days. Then we went on to Seville for a day. We've been to Seville multiple times, but it's one of our favorite small towns.
Yes.
So Seville is an amazing spot. I mean, I tell anybody to go to Spain, if you really want to see real Spain, Seville. So.
Any quick tips on what to do or when you get there?
Yes, they have a royal palace there. It's, I forget what, Real, the royal palace.
Royal Alcazar?
The Royal Alcazar. That is an amazing, the grounds, just to walk around. Again, it was Moors. So you have a lot of Islamic writing, and then you have your Catholic. I mean, depending on who conquered and came in and started ruling, they just sort of build, just like if you went to Rome, they just build over and just constantly adding. So, but that's, and then also inside the cathedral there in Seville, Christopher Columbus is buried.
The Christopher Columbus?
Yes, who discovered America.
We have a day named after him.
Yeah. So he's actually buried, which first time we went, we had no idea he was buried there.
Really?
Yeah.
That's wild.
But there's people that also say
so he left?
Santo Domingo, in Dominican Republic, they say he's buried there too. I've heard that. There's a church there. They say he's buried.
How about that? So that's Seville you're talking about.
Yeah, Seville. And lots of orange trees. That's one thing also. It's cool to see. And you can smell the orange, like orange blossoms and stuff while you're walking around. Usually spring. And even while we were there, you could still smell orange trees. It smelled so good. And that's all those little, you know, courtyards and you know.
What did you do when you had been there before and spent time? What would you do in Seville?
Oh, the Catholic Church. I think it's the third largest next to St. Patrick's. And there's another, St. Peter's. So this is like the third largest Catholic church in the world in Seville. That definitely. They also have this It's like a, they call it a digestive drink. It's a shot.
Ah.
It's I think it was like €1, and it's orange, like an orange liquor, because they have lots of orange trees everywhere.
Yeah, right.
And they make, and that was actually really good.
Is it citrusy? Or
no, it's got a citrus accent, but it was different.
So in Seville, is it walkable? Is it
yes,
very walkable?
All these towns are walkable.
So you could do this in a day pretty easily.
We took buses and trains to each one of these, depending on which was cheaper. And if you want to see the countryside, then we went, you know, we took then to Granada, where we went to next. We took a bus, because there's no trains that go there. So we took a city bus, which city buses overseas are really, really nice. It's a variety of people. It's older people.
I think it's just a hurdle for some people to get over the... I mean, a lot of people
are... We think Greyhound, and we think, oh, they're dirty, disgusting.
Yeah.
That was always mine until I lived overseas. When I lived overseas, I'm like...
Is the same true for the city buses, though?
City buses are nice. Oh,
really?
Oh, other cities, like in... Like Nice, we took a city bus out just outside the city just to see this little town called Ez, which was a medieval town on the Mediterranean. We just took three for two of us, €3 round trip, versus either taking a taxi, which was like €40, or take a tour up there where you only get here. You got there's 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever it is. You got to go here, you got to go here, and you follow somebody around. We don't like to do a lot of those tours. That's just us. So you can take tours, or a lot of times since we've been overseas, we just take city buses most places, and they're very clean.
With the buses thing, is it something that you have to sort of do research about?
We did. We would do research, or we would just go to the bus station and say, hey, we saw online this bus goes to Granada. We just need to. And a lot of times we would book. There's an app that for overseas for all the buses over there. It's called Go Euro.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I've seen that one.
Yeah.
And, it includes city buses? And
that's city and
regional buses.
Regional buses.
Yeah, I feel like I used that for the trains when I was there last.
Oh, okay. And you can use it for trains,
same
too.
Same prices? They don't
same
inflate
prices.
The price?
Nope. No, and your ticket is on your phone.
It's oh,
in
great.
Your, it's, if you have an iPhone, it's in your wallet.
So this is, of course, if you have service.
Yes.
Well, that's true. Make sure that you have your unlocked phone.
I did this while we were in the hotel because my phone's not unlocked. While I was on Wi-Fi. And another rule, always screenshot everything. Because if sometimes you may think you have service, especially in other countries, if you have a screenshot of airline ticket or, you know, bus ticket or rail ticket, it's better than not getting up there and not having, you know, I don't know. I mean,
that's actually a great idea. I never thought about that.
Especially, I think if you're using online ticketing,
yes,
it's really important to have screenshots of those. If you're for travel reservations in general, I still use TripIt for like confirmation numbers and things like that. It hasn't evolved like you'd want it to. It hasn't evolved like the airline apps and things like that. But TripIt is a good place to just keep everything all in one.
Oh, that's cool.
So from Seville.
So then we went to Granada, took a bus there. Granada was the number one tourist spot to visit is in Granada, in all of Spain.
So was it more crowded then when you were there?
It was, again, a lot of people come in. A lot of tourists come in during the day.
Well, they're there for the Alhambra, right?
Yeah, for the Alhambra. And this is, I thought it was just like the Alhambra was a palace. Okay, yes, it's multiple palaces in one, depending on who ruled at the time, but it's up on a hill. You have the Sierra Nevada mountains in the background that this time of year there was still snow on. So it was pretty cool views.
Oh, it's got to be
and
amazing,
it's a hilly
yeah.
city. So it's you're walking the hills, which is every time you go up one hill, you just turn around and you're like,
I'm a sucker for anything, if it's beautiful old architecture, that's great. If it's surrounded by a beautiful mountainous region, it's pretty amazing. And looking at the pictures, that looks like someplace I'd like to be right now.
Yeah, it was amazing because there's different palaces. And then when the Spanish Inquisition happened, you have a Catholic church they put in the middle to make their stamp.
Got to put my church here.
Yeah, yeah. When they have a really cool church, and they got a couple of nice cathedrals in this, like there's a royal cathedral. And, you see lots of that Arabian and Muslim architecture that came across from Morocco and a lot of little tidal pools. And it was just the views looking at it. And while you're up there looking out
it's got to be beautiful.
Yeah. And get your tickets. If you go, make sure you get your tickets well in advance. We booked this, I think, 2 months before we went because I broke my foot and we were supposed to go earlier in the year.
Never.
Another
story.
Yeah, another story. Anyways, we booked this last minute, two months out, and we only got one choice of going, because you cannot go inside the buildings inside the Alhambra unless you were with a tour guide.
Oh, so you can arrange that months in advance. How long in advance would you recommend?
I would say
6 months.
Six would probably be better. Well, I mean, we did 2 months, and they were like, "Well, there's only one slot open Saturday at 10 a.m."
And this place looks massive.
And it's massive. So, there were 30,000 people inside. This was the original Granada. This was the original city where all these different palaces are inside this grounds, and it's 3 miles long.
Jeez.
Inside the grounds. I don't know how wide, because it's the width of the mountain, but there were once 30,000 people living.
It's mountain size.
Yeah. It's quite amazing. So you can actually wander the grounds, but there's certain buildings in the royal palaces unless you have that guide. So you can wander around inside the walls, but you can't go into certain buildings unless you have a tour guide.
Oh, cool.
And there's security every checkpoint where you enter a new section
really?
Of the grounds. Yeah.
No, rightfully so. It's stuff worth protecting for sure.
And you couldn't take backpacks. I mean, any bag you had to be left at the front, and they like a coat check. So a bag check area.
Oh, so you couldn't bring anything. You were pretty much.
No. You had to buy like
cameras or anything.
You could bring your phone. You could bring a phone. Yeah. You could bring a camera. Certain buildings, you were not allowed to take pictures, is like a lot of places.
Yeah, standard.
Yeah. But some places you had to buy like water inside. You couldn't bring food in.
Yeah.
But that was only certain areas. Certain areas you could.
So after Granada, was that it?
We ended up going to Madrid then after we left Granada.
Is that how you came back?
Yeah. So we flew back from, we took high-speed train. We took a bus then from Granada to Cordoba, jumped on the high-speed train. And it's about 2.5-hour bus ride from Granada to Cordoba.
Okay.
And then, which is good, the bus station happens to be right across the street from the train station.
Oh, well, that's convenient. Where? In Cordoba?
In Cordoba.
Oh, great.
So, yeah, you can just get off the bus, walk across the street, and you're at the train station. Train stations and bus stations are pretty much together that we've come apart, in certain cities in Spain.
Great. And then how long was the trip from Cordoba back to Madrid?
Cordoba to Madrid was 2 hours.
Okay.
High-speed train.
Okay.
And so we did do the upgrade because it was 17 euro difference to be first class.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
So, did you get, what was the service like in the
Oh, the service was
bus?
Great. They brought you food, the bus?
On the train.
Train, they brought you food. You had like a snack. Then you had drinks. I mean,
all right. Good service.
It was good service.
Seats were bigger.
Seats were big. Okay. Good layback, nice and wide. And then went to Madrid.
That's a pretty solid itinerary.
Seriously.
I think it's really.
Well, it was almost 2 weeks.
You've got the time to do it too, but and these cities sound fairly walkable too. But if
everything
you want to take
some
time and spend a couple of days in each, that's probably best. So, yeah. Flight back from Madrid to
Madrid to JFK.
Okay,
was again Norwegian Air, and that was 129. One way.
129.
Now look at this guy going to triple digits.
Hey. Wow.
Well, see, we were like, we could do extra things and stay in nicer places because we saved on our airfare.
Yeah, totally.
So that's we didn't rent a car, which, and I tell this to everybody, if you're going to be in a small town in any country, you're going to have to pay for parking, you have to pay for the rental car, and if you're not using it for more than like just a day to hit multiple destinations versus taking a train or a local bus, it's just not worth it.
In a lot of circumstances, that's probably good advice for domestic trips too, because really you have to think about how much you're using the car. I think some people just decide that I'm going to rent a car while I'm there, and they just sort of passively think that that'll be nice, but then you don't take that stuff into consideration if you're staying in a city where you have to pay for the valet and then like there's no parking around, or you have to have the headache of trying to find it. It's really kind of a headache. So unless you're going to like do what you said and use it to go to multiple spots in a day.
In one day, because we've done trips from Marbella down to Gibraltar and Cadiz and Victoria Beach, which is a nice surf spot.
Yeah.
We've done that in one day, and then we would return the car. But that was the only time, because we were like, we want to hit all these towns along the coast.
Yeah.
But then, like, you could take a bus for a day trip from, to Ronda or even Granada, and you could take bus trips for like 14 to 30 euros.
Makes
and
sense.
Come back the same day and not have to pay for a rental car if you need to pay for extra insurance or, parking.
And then you got to drive it.
And then you have to drive it. Yeah. And it's a little sketchy going up when you go to Ronda, because it's all on cliffs.
Oh, that sounds nice.
It's beautiful views, but it's nice to have somebody drive so you can actually look at the views instead
of. Right. That's a good point.
Or having the wife being, white knuckling your leg while you're driving. I've had that before.
Just I've tried letting my wife drive, and that's a scary experience.
Oh,
we're driving in the She likes to drive in the middle of the road on a two-way highway, two-lane highway. Well, when there's,
I think
we were in Vermont, and this was hilarious. Well, it wasn't hilarious because I thought I was going to die, but there were bicyclists on the side of the road, and they're keeping in their lane. But she felt she had to pull into the passing lane to pass, and there's cars coming at us, and I'm kind of like, you don't need to be this far over.
Should have done
your
a bus.
Wife might not done be a better bus. Driver. I'm just saying, mine was not.
I'm not saying
not
that
good
at all.
At country roads. We'll say that. All right, great. Well, this has been fun. It's always fun to have you here because you have a lot of detail and a lot of money saving tips and app recommendations. There's a lot of information in a Brian Apple visit.
I know, right?
Well, that's only because I've lived overseas.
And you
so
know, yeah.
I learned. I didn't know all this when I it was one of those where
I
you're
suppose,
here.
Yeah, having been back multiple times and knowing how to get around, you know, the south,
it does,
southern
it,
Spain and stuff.
It does
like
help.
That.
And plus, I worked with a guy from Malaga, and I had friends in Madrid. And a lot of these countries I met, you know, made friends that I worked with at Rockstar. So I would always ask them
Senior
first.
Senior European correspondent, Brian Apple. Thanks so much. Great having you back.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Always that's fun. The podcast.
It's inspiring, because now I want to go to Spain.
Now I want to go. I want to actually take a trip where I leave the airport.
Maybe you should.
Yeah, once or twice. Maybe it's further down the road. I got to think about
it. At least have the jamón, please.
Yes.
Well, yeah, I will have that.
And Manchego cheese.
Okay.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. I'll go to Spain. Do they have it at the airport?
You know what? They probably. Yes, they actually you do. You can buy the sliced, already pre-sliced.
If it's duty free, I'm all over it.
There you go.
And the sangria.
And quit piling on. All right. Thanks for joining us.
All right. Paella.